Good afternoon. Welcome back to Cresta in the Afternoon. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Marcus Peter, and I'm one of the radio hosts here at Ave Maria Radio. I host Unveiling the Covenants. This morning, Columbia University issued a warning to students in the Gaza Solidarity Encampment, warning activists that they must leave the area or face disciplinary action. Meanwhile, protesters at George Washington University broke down police barriers and chanted, "Globalize the Intifada." We get an update on the chaos with Jay Green. Dr. Jay Green is a senior research fellow in the Center for Education Policy at the Heritage Foundation. The focus of his current research examines the effects of education on character formation and civic values. His past research has covered a diverse set of topics, from randomized controlled trials of private school choice programs to the effects of student field trips to art museums and theater. You may follow him on Twitter, or X now, at JP Green. That's G-R-E-E-N-E. Jay, how are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. Thank you for joining us on the program today.
Sure.
So this is a concerning state of affairs, and it's been developing. There doesn't seem to be a cessation to the chaos. But from a big picture perspective, what we're really looking at is frankly alarming. This is calling for quite a lot of harm to be done to people of Jewish ethnicity at large.
It is, but honestly, the hostility that we're seeing in the campus protests is not limited to Israel nor to Jews. It's really to America itself. And I think they see Israel as a representation of the things about the United States that they hate. And so they're directing their protest towards Israel, but also towards America. And we're seeing a lot of those chants and slogans being repeated in these protests nationwide.
Which is truly awful to think about, that the very notion of love for your nation, we don't even have to talk about an uber sense of patriotism here, just a fundamental love for the nation that you're living in. Whether you're a citizen or not, it's besides the point. If you are here, you have some kind of obligation towards fidelity toward that nation. And that basic principle of common sense, of that preservation of the common good, that's completely gone out the window.
It has. I mean, they have their own understanding of what the common good is, but we might be able to recognize it as some sort of Marxist notion of the common good. So they see themselves as revolutionaries, talking too much about the political positions of the protesters is in some ways giving them a little bit too much credit, because some amount of what we're seeing going on is young people simply rebelling against authority,
right,
and enjoying the consequence-free fantasy of power. So they're playing out a fantasy here of revolutionary, and without having really given much thought to what revolution means or what it stands for.
That's right. Or the real cost of revolution on a not just personal but societal and national level. We've got another problem here, which is that, like you mentioned, there's this underlying principle of a kind of Hegelian Marxist notion of we ought to support the underling. You know, it is the proletariat versus the bourgeois, that kind of notion taking place here. So much so that in light of the conflict between Israel and Hamas, what's being discerned is not the moral situation. We're not making a moral judgment here. We're really making a judgment of, well, Israel strong, therefore Israel bad, when there's a lot more to the conversation to be had.
Right. They have imbibed over many years of schooling the notion that the world can be divided into two categories, oppressor and oppressed.
Right.
With the oppressors deserving to have their privilege taken away, and the oppressed deserving restitution for historic or collective wrongs. And so this is a dramatic departure from traditional American political theory, which aspires to equal treatment of the individual under the law. So rather than placing people in groups mm-hmm. and treating people differently by their group identity, America has aspired to treat individuals equally under yep. the law. And this is a departure from that. This is a belief that people deserve different treatment based on their group identity. And they see, as you say, Israel as the oppressor. They see America as the oppressor. They see Jews as the oppressor. And the way they can identify this is simply success. So if you manage to thrive, even thrive despite difficulties in persecution, mm-hmm. you must have done something dastardly. You right, must have done right. something wrong, and you then deserve to have wrong things, bad things happen to you.
Right. So precisely because of that understanding, when chants such as From the River to the Sea are being sung and chanted out, really what we are seeing is that there's very little comprehension of what that entails. It's really just this ascribing to the notion that we have to side with the underdog no matter what.
Right, and look, who the underdog is a matter of framing.
Right.
We could as easily tell the story where the Israelis are the underdog.
That's right.
And the Jews are the underdogs. But they have adopted the framing that has been given to them about this situation, and they therefore apply their kind of twisted moral reasoning in that way.
I was reading an article penned by A.J. Edelman. He's, amongst other things, an author and a commentator, Israeli author and commentator living here in the United States. And he went to Colombia, and he wore his kippah, his yarmulke, and as soon as mm-hmm. he was spotted with the kippah, in the public sphere, he was swarmed, he was pushed down, and he reports this, right? So we're taking this as first-hand report, that it was yelled, "He's subhuman, I can't wait for Hamas to come to your door and kill all your friends for no reason." Now, I understand that there's a real vitriol here, but that vitriol is in retaliation for what they think is happening on the Palestinian side as perpetrated by the Israelites. But in fact, this language, he's subhuman, and this, "I can't wait mm-hmm. for them to come to your door," it's really reminiscent of the Nazi Der Untermensch propaganda.
Well, look, this is what happens when we have a significant departure from Judeo-Christian values, which
yep.
see all humans as equal in the eyes of God, as equally created in the image of God. And once you depart from this notion of equality and begin to divide the world into different categories deserving of different treatment, there's no limiting principle to how badly you can treat the group that is considered deserving
right.
of rough treatment.
Right, which again goes back to a basic understanding of sound social teachings and the premise of the common good and just war, for example. There really is a limitation to the amount of violence that can justly be done. But what's being called for here is frankly just plain unfettered vitriol. Now, in light of this, as you mentioned earlier, this is the result of a departure from a God who gives us objective morality. The Catholic stance on anti-Semitism has always been very clear, especially in recent history. So help us understand that better.
Well, so I don't profess to be an expert on Catholic teaching on mm-hmm. anti-Semitism, but I agree with you that the Church has, especially in recent decades, been very strong in opposition to this kind of brazen anti-Semitism, and recognizing that unequal treatment is an affront to the notion of humans being made equally in the eyes of God.
Right, and therein lies the problem. I mean, it's very clear, demonizing an entire subset of the culture means necessarily not being willing to acknowledge that those people possess the image and likeness of God.
That's true. Now, look, reasonable people can have disputes about various matters in the world, and people can disagree about what should be happening in Israel.
Right.
And within Israel, people disagree. The question is, how do we handle these disagreements? And the use of force rather than reason, feeling that one's enemy is subhuman and not worthy of dignity and equal treatment is a very dangerous thing. Now, independent of all these philosophical issues, we also have practical issues here, which is these are our elite universities that are preparing the future leaders of this country, the people who will be running corporations, who will be running the government, and it's alarming that they have imbibed this so much. It's also alarming that these universities are being unable to operate in a normal way. They can't hold classes. Their research activities are being disrupted. And the protesters intend to disrupt these activities in order to have leverage over the university and to get something they want, although, frankly, it's unclear what they could possibly want that would satisfy them.
Right, or what they could possibly gain in the process, because shutting down the operations of the university also means shutting down their pursuit of an academic degree.
That's right. Which leads me to the thought that that we might make a mistake of trying to treat them too seriously.
No, I hear you.
That we might really see them as simply enjoying a fantasy and exercising power over others.
Right. As you mentioned, without consequence, because what we've seen so far is that the university administrations are trying to treat this thing very carefully, almost as if with kid gloves.
This is true. I mean, we've seen a handful of institutions where they have cracked down quickly and forcefully, threatening students who violate the university rules with disciplinary action. But at too many of these institutions, they are failing to enforce their rules, and they're failing to discipline students who violate their rules, and that leads to a lawless and disorderly environment, which is fundamentally inconsistent with an educational institution.
Right. And inconsistent with the way our constitution was founded. But thank you so much for making the time, Jay. Been talking to Dr. Jay Green, Senior Research Fellow in the Center for Education Policy at the Heritage Foundation. You can follow him on Twitter at jpgreen.com. I'm Marcus Peter, filling in for Al Cresta on Cresta in the Afternoon.